With just a little over 10 days to go, this is not going to be the last time you hear about SpongeBob the Musical. Melanie Hurt is joining me here today to talk about that. And just from what I've read about it, not your production, but just from what I read about the production itself and how much work goes into this, you've been tackling a lot lately, haven't you?
We sure have. This is the largest, most complicated, most amazing show that Crow has ever produced. And if you know Crow, that's saying something.
Now, being as big a name as this is and as big a show as it is, do you feel like you'll be able to draw from outside the area as well? Because I think what people would want to see this.
Yeah, we're hoping so. That's actually one of our goals, is to make sure that people know that we can produce high quality musical theater right here on the Oregon coast, which is essentially 50 miles from everywhere else. But we want those people to hop in their car and drive over to Florence and come see our show and then, you know, contribute to the local economy.
So. What went into the casting process? Let's start back in the day when, after you got everything all set around and you're ready to start putting people in their place. How did that go?
Well, Crow has a very specific audition process. We're a little bit different in that we don't cast every child that auditions. We believe that children need to have something to strive for. So many of the kids prepared for months and months. They worked on their audition song back in January. They came in and just, you know, blew us away with how talented and wonderful they are. And then it's sort of like a big puzzle. So you just have to say, well, if we cast this person here, who could we cast here? But it's been, you know, it's been an amazing experience working with these kids. There are 48 kids total in this cast, plus an additional 12 or 13 adult pirates. And we have an alumni, Crow alum, who's also a graduate of Southern Oregon University in Ashland. His name's Cameron Utz.
I knew that name was coming out of your mouth.
And he's living in Eugene now, and he's coming in to do the role of Patchy the Pirate for us.
Well, how about that? That's pretty cool.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he sure is. And, you know, we miss him here. He used to do some interns for us here.
I
thought he was going to come back to radio, but, you know.
Oh, he may someday. He's been working on his art.
Yeah, that's good. So you got through the process there, and of course, you know, it's a very, like you said, it's a very complicated process, because not only do you have to match talent with talent, you got to match size and shapes and all this other things.
Yeah, vocal abilities, dance abilities. You know, musical theater is really the whole package. So many of the kids that we work with are called triple threats. And what that means is that they can sing and dance and act. And, you know, they don't all have to be that way. You know, some kids can be stronger in one area than others, and we try to feature their strengths. But it's wonderful when we meet a child or a young adult who just is great at everything. It's so impressive.
That reminds me, when I was in high school doing a production of The Wiz, there's a narrator portion of it, then there's the rest of them. Well, because of my voice, I got the narrator portion, and I talked through most of the thing while everybody else did their stuff. But I was like, I want to be out there dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
So the director put me in the final scene.
Well, that's,
so
that, you know, that's what we encourage our kids to do. If they discover something that, you know, they might consider a quote unquote weakness, then we ask them, okay, so if this is your weakest area, what do you need to do? How can you apply yourself to make yourself stronger?
So those who haven't seen SpongeBob, give me a little bit of the synopsis.
Okay, so it's a little different than the cartoon. One of the, if you will, criticisms that we've heard is that, oh, I'm not a fan of the cartoon. So I want to start by saying that it's quite different. The cartoon can have a little bit of crass humor in it, and it's kind of, you know, a little bit more for adults. This is not that way. The musical is very whimsical, it's very colorful, and the themes are things like heroism and friendship and overcoming obstacles together and working together to save their small town, you know, so small town pride, which is kind of a great theme for Florence. So that's kind of what the show is about.
And so then, it's geared for the whole family.
It is, absolutely. And we have ages, I think 4 is our youngest, up through young adult. So I think he's 21 or 22. And, you know, the show itself is not quite what you're expecting if you're only familiar with the cartoon. It has a musical score that is written by literally every famous rock star you've ever heard of. Should I name off some of them?
Sure.
Okay. So let's see if I can get most of them. There's Aerosmith, David Bowie, Panic at the Disco, The Flaming Lips, The Magnetic Zeros, Sarah Bareilles, John Legend, Cyndi Lauper, T.I., Yolanda Adams, and a whole bunch more.
Wow, that's quite an impressive list, just the ones you named off there.
And the music is so great. It was, this show, when it opened on Broadway, was nominated for something like 12 Tony Awards, just because of how wonderful it is to watch. It's very feel good.
So, you know, the casting is one part, but then there's the stage production portion of it. Tell a little bit about I don't want to say the headaches, but the opportunities you've had putting that together.
Well, we always try to frame everything in a positive way. But yes, the show has definite challenges. I would venture to say that literally every technical theater component that you can imagine is in this production.
Wow.
So usually in a crow show, you know, we have something like, oh, there's fog in the scene, or, oh, we have a bubble machine. This particular show has literally everything. So, you know, that takes a lot of coordination by our technical director, Chris Owens, and, you know, our crew. We have lighting design by Margaret McDarmond. And we have, you know, an amazing production team that's literally been working on this for, I don't know, 9 months or so before the kids even walked through that door.
Now, this is obviously set under the sea.
Yes.
So What did you do to kind of bring that on? I imagine the backdrops will have a lot to do with that.
Well, actually, the most effective thing is our costumes. So we have a costume committee this year, and they are working their tails off. Fishtails? Yeah, fishtails. Okay. I was going to say fins. Yeah. She told me 115 unique costumes for this cast. And they're not just, you know, t-shirts and jeans. That's not what Crow does. We have incredible detailed costumes. Each costume has found objects in it. So recycled components and upcycled components. They're just like, they'll blow your mind when you see them. They're amazing.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question here, because I, you know, I've seen it maybe once or twice, but, you know, as far as the cartoon goes. But he lives in a clamshell.
A pineapple.
Pineapple. But he lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Pineapple under the sea,
okay.
Yes.
So what is he? What is SpongeBob? Is he a sponge?
Yes, he is. Big, long Latin word here. Insert Latin word here that I can't pronounce,
okay.
But our narrator in the show can. Right. Epistolaria fistualis or something like that. Yellow sponge, which is a sea creature.
Hmm.
And he's just, you know, happens to be square and wearing pants.
to give the visual that he's a sponge, probably.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
What else do we need to know about this show to encourage us to come? Obviously, I've already heard enough to want to go.
Well, the choreography is outstanding. The kids have been working on their music and, you know, one of the best compliments we get at Crow, and this is what we always strive for, is that when an audience member comes, they forget that they're watching kids. And really, you know, when we hear that, that makes us feel great because it means that they are so immersed in the story and they're not looking at this show as something that's cute or sweet or, oh, aren't they adorable up there? They're looking at it as, I was really entertained and I got lost in that story.
That's good because there's no comparison whatsoever, but I remember going to my daughter's dance recitals. And it's a totally different thing there.
Yeah.
You're just going, oh my goodness, you know, you just want to make sure they don't embarrass themselves too much. But you guys are on a professional level for the kids.
Yeah, well, and that's been my goal. You know, one of my personal philosophies is, why should our rural coastal kids have anything less than the kids that have, you know, big city opportunities? I believe that they should have the very best quality experience in the arts, because whether or not they go off and become actors, singers, dancers, that doesn't matter. They know that the adults in their lives have given their all to them. And when an adult commits that level of professionalism, the children see what they can become when they're an adult and how they can give back to others and how they can do their very, very best. And there's really no limits. I think a lot of our local kids, they tend to think very small. They think, you know, the world is kind of small for them. Florence,
especially if they've never been out of Florence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm trying to teach them that there's a lot out there that they can accomplish, and they don't need to put personal boundaries in that regard in front of themselves, preventing them from achieving great things. You know, there's no reason why a small town like Florence can't do a fabulous main stage, big, splashy musical.
Yeah, and also put kids on a stage for their future, too.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. All those skills that they're learning.
You've got something else coming up, too, right?
I do. So after SpongeBob, about a month afterwards, we have a spring dance showcase. And that is another opportunity for, like we were talking about earlier, our kids that are talented in certain areas to really showcase themselves. But I want to add that the spring dance showcase is not like our big shows. You know, it's not just a little kitty thing. It's not, oh, how cute. Look at that little bumblebee up there doing her turns. It's not really that. We have performances by our level one and level two classes. We feature the flight dance team, which is our strongest, most dedicated dancers. And then we have adult performances as well. And we're bringing in some groups from out of town. We have some really neat specialty acts. There's a gal coming who's going to do some hoop choreography. So lots of really interesting things. It's great for the whole family, great for all ages.
And when is that again?
That's coming up in May, and there's two performances only of that, May 26th and 27th at the Florence Event Center.
So that's like the week after Rhodey, is that?
Yes, it's okay. The week after Rhodey, yeah. I think it's Memorial Day weekend, Friday and Saturday night at 7.
All right, now back to the performance of SpongeBob the Musical. Tell us how we can get tickets.
Tell us
when the dates are, when the times are.
All right, so it's at the Florence Event Center, which we're calling Bikini Bottom. Come to Bikini Bottom on April 14th, 15th, 16th, or 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Friday and Saturday nights are at 7 p.m. Sundays are at 2 p.m.
All right, so evening and then a matinee.
Yes, and tickets are available. There's a link, like a link through on our website. So if you go to crowkids.com and then go to the SpongeBob page, you can get lots of information, including, I need to mention, all of our wonderful sponsors are listed there and our grant makers. We have received several wonderful grants that have aided this production.
Were you able to, through the grants, cover most of the expenses?
About 50%.
Okay. Ticket
sales should hopefully cover the remainder. Hmm. People don't really realize how much it costs to produce a production like this.
Especially this one.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because I'm sure it was highly sought after by people.
Yes. So we've got royalties and rentals and costumes and props and sets and, you know, all of the scripts and all of the, it adds up. But like I said earlier, we don't set the bar low here. We just aim for the top and... Usually our kids really impress us and they achieve far more than we ever imagined.
Now, I've only been here 9 years, but does this feel like the biggest thing you've done on this stage, so to speak?
I would definitely say it's the largest production we've ever produced. It's, the set is going to be incredible. We've got our scenic artist building all of these amazing underwater sea creatures out of pool noodles and old foam mattresses and recycled components. I mean, it's just on and on and on how many people have poured their love and heart and soul into making this production great for our community.
I hope the whole community comes out and sees this. I hope you have to end up putting more shows on because
of this. Oh, gosh, that would be lovely. Yeah. I want to encourage people to just overcome that idea in their head of, I don't like SpongeBob the cartoon, because you're going to be really surprised when you come and see the show.
Well, most of the older folks never heard of SpongeBob, so they'll get into it and they'll enjoy it anyway.
You're going to absolutely love it no matter what.
Melanie Hurd, thank you so much.
Thank you. And remember, everybody, the arts really do matter.
Coming up next, a whole nother hour of Our Town here on Coast Radio.